her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing but...
The very first line of Matt Schneidman's The Athletic article on yesterday's loss to the Eagles is... It is not far-fetched to think Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job as the Green Bay Packers head coach for the rest of the season. This isn't people popping off in the YouTube comments. This isn't people on the Carbless talking text line, although those comments are there. This is somebody who covers the team day in and day out, who has his thumb on the pulse of everything going on at 1265. And Schneidman is saying it is not far-fetched to think Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job as the Green Bay Packers. Because there are a lot of issues that have developed that we have seen now. And I know we mentioned earlier Aaron Rodgers, for those of you who said, why are we talking about the Steelers quarterback? Well, because for a long time, there was this narrative of Aaron Rodgers audibling out of plays, right? And there were times we would criticize it and say, run the dang offense. Run the offense the coach put in front of you. You're not better than everybody else. You don't know more than everybody else. I'm starting to think maybe that thought process was wrong. I'm starting to think maybe Aaron Rodgers was saving some of these issues, these predictabilities, these why are we running the ball on second and seven plus. Joshy just dropped a little nugget into our group text. Matt LaFleur on second and seven plus against the Eagles, 75% run. Second and long. Runs are averaging 1.7 yards per carry.
Woof.
I'm glad Chewy was like,
woof.
You know, there needs to be some recognition of these trends and then adjusting to them. And Matt LaFleur doesn't seem to be able to do that. And I know that there are injuries. I obviously know that guys are down. That offensive line is underperforming. They have got to get it shored up or at least figure out ways with other players.
I don't think it's going to get shored up.
Figure out ways with other players to provide protection for your quarterback.
I mean, but who are you going to put in there? Like we've seen a lot of these guys in there, and they haven't been up to snuff. Like the offensive line's been a problem.
One player away from disaster. Yeah, one player away from disaster. Who do you play next?
At center?
Or Kincaid? No, I'm sure Sean Ryan's going to play center. Oh. Look, Jacob Monk right now can't play. Otherwise, he would have been in there.
Correct.
So he's on ice. So you're one player away from, oh, my God, is it Kincaid or Belton? You know what? And I've never, about this upcoming game, guys, I've never been a throw the ball 50 or 55 times a game. Now I am.
Just want him to chuck it?
Now I am.
Just see what happens?
Just throw.
What the hell?
Right?
Here's what I want to talk about right now, Chew. We talked earlier about Matt LaFleur, and if things are going sideways, and if what you've put in place isn't working, and the importance of having people around you who can say, hey, man, listen, I know you've busted your butt. Blood, sweat, and tears and whatnot in putting together this game plan. It's not working. Can we pivot? Can we? Or does he just have yes men around him who are saying, whatever you think, coach, you know, I trust your gut. I trust your instincts. Does Matt LaFleur, has he failed by not putting in a system that can say, this isn't working. Can we pivot?
Yeah, that's just too tough. Because if you do have a bunch of yes men, they're not going to step up to the podium when they talk. You know, like when Steno talks each and every Thursday, he's not going to step up and they go, yeah, I'm just a yes man. Like, we're not going to get an actual answer to that unless there's somebody that decides to leak information that wants, you know, that feels like they are a dissenting voice, but nobody else is, and decides that, hey, I need to give some information to one of the Packers beat reporters. That's such a tough answer. That's a tough question to answer because we just don't know. And there's no way to know.
What does your gut tell you, though? Does your gut tell you that he has somebody in there? And again, you know, we brought up Aaron Rodgers earlier, guys. He was the voice of dissent, right? Like, again, as much as we criticized and said, you know, fall in line. You're just the quarterback. The coaches call the plays, and you're the quarterback. Run the plays. Maybe he was that voice. We know that he and Matt LaFleur would have private conversations about Rodgers' issues with the offense. He has said that. So I guess they weren't that private. I mean, they happened privately, but then he told people that they happened. So take it for what it's worth.
I'm guessing they have constructive conversations.
I would say that they're all yes men, because the only way without being in the mix to measure how good assistant coaches are is how much they're sought after. I mean, look at Detroit with Johnson. He's gone. He's great, and he's doing a good job in Chicago. Look at Philadelphia, right? Who's the guy that left and went to, to
Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore. Yeah, but Gabe, still, what have we had here? We have, I mean, a guy can be a good coach from a technical standpoint, but really know nothing about scheming and game planning, putting things together. And I'll go back to Holmgren's staff. You know, Gruden. Gruden went on, offensive coordinator, head coach, for, you know, successful guy. Andy Reid, obviously. Marty Mortenwig. Tom Lovato was one of the best, not only the best O-line coach I've been around, one of the best coaches I've been around. It's just, if you don't have guys to help you out and have good minds behind you and have the balls to say, Matt, you're wrong there. You're wrong, okay? You got to do it this way because we can't pick up here and do this. He's got to be able to see that. Then you're only going to go so far.
Yeah, but I guess, I mean, nobody's coming after any of the offensive assistants anymore for Andy. Like, no, he had a couple, but and then they failed, right? But nobody, so nobody's given any of those people. I mean, when's the last time somebody from there got an opportunity?
Yeah, but look at Spagnuolo, Gabe. I mean, he was a head coach. He was terrible. He wasn't good. Any stop he went, but now he's considered one of the best.
Yeah, but that's the defensive side of the ball. I don't think that Spagnuolo's just going in there and saying, hey, Andy, that's a bad play call. You know, I don't think Halfley's going to come into offensive meetings and go, hey, that's a bad play call. He's got his own stuff to worry about.
Let me just ask you this. If LaFleur is back next year, should Bisaccia be on that staff?
I mean, I know, like, I guess I just, I don't care about Rich Bisaccia. I don't. I know Joshy cares a ton about it. I just don't.
But you should. But it's like, I don't. You have to.
Because listen, they have, as an organization, don't give a rip about special teams. I'm like, they don't care.
This.
So I don't care who the special teams coordinator is. I don't care how much they're paying him. I don't think that's indicative of anything. Like, Rich Bisaccia being on the staff is indicative of Matt LaFleur turning into a bad player.
Well, you're wrong, Gabe. You're wrong. For someone that's been around it, you're wrong. Okay, you're wrong. Because you upgrade players, right? Are you for upgrading players?
Yeah.
Do you upgrade coaches?
If you can.
Exactly.
If you can.
He doesn't.
Well, but
he doesn't.
But again, like, no matter, I guess I'm just at this with special teams. Like, they've hired how many different special coordinators over a number of different head coaches over the last 15 years? They've all stunk. They've all been bad. So I just don't care. Go do whatever you want with the special teams. Like, I just don't care. Like, do I wish that they had somebody, you know, like Adam Stenovich getting interviews for a head coaching job? Sure. But I also think that's really hard when you're not the offensive play caller.
I had a great coach, a unbelievably great coach.
Yeah.
Followed up by a very good coach, followed up by a guy who I don't think could coach. And it affected me. That's all I'm saying.
Reaction assistant rolling into, I got to get to break for real quick here, pal. Joe in the 920 says, another damning comment for Matt LaFleur. Week 1 and 2 was good because there wasn't as much film on what the teams do. Teams have film now. And in the first quarter since week 2, they've scored 1 touchdown versus Dallas, 1 touchdown versus Pitt, nothing versus Cleveland, Arizona, Carolina, and Philly. How do you spend all week game planning and you can only muster 2 touchdowns over the last 7 first quarters? The league knows what Matt LaFleur wants to do. We got callers on the line. Joshy, I want to get to these callers when we get back. Guys, stay on the line. We're going to take calls here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
Connie's delivers pizzeria taste without pizzeria prices. When it's BOGO at Pick and Save, it's even better. From the cornmeal dust to crust. Again, this is a really different frozen pizza crust that you have never had before. All natural premium ingredients. You're going to enjoy the pizzeria experience, but from your home oven. So head over to Pick and Save and stock up. It's a hot offer. Connie's BOGO. Buy one, get one at Pick and Save. It is good through November 16th.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story. Because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're heading betting to Milwaukee Bucks games this year, you should bet on the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Catch a shuttle to Pfizer Forum. After purchase or making a bet, a wristband will be given out at the bar or the betting counter. You must have a wristband to board the shuttle leaving Potawatomi. Wristbands are not required for return shuttles. Obviously, your car is parked in the structure. You got to get back to your car. Seating is limited. It's a first-come, first-served basis. Shuttles pick up and drop off at the annex that's next to the sportsbook. And they begin departing Potawatomi 1 hour and 15 minutes before game time. Return shuttles begin in the third quarter and run nonstop until 1 hour after game time. It's a great way to enjoy Potawatomi Sportsbook and some Bucks games November 14th, 15th, and 29th. Get out to Potawatomi Sportsbook and enjoy some Milwaukee Bucks games at the same time.
I do think one thing that could help us immensely is we've got to get back in. If the running game, not that it was, I thought it was solid tonight. It was effective. But the more you can keep teams off balance, if you're really humming, that alleviates a lot of stress on your offense.
Matt LaFleur talking the talk, not walking the walk, obviously, because the run game was not as effective as he thinks it was. Let's go out to the phone lines. Thomas in Chicago is waiting patiently on the line. Thomas, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks for taking my call. I've going back to what Gabe says, I think, first thing, a lot of blame, but I think Goody should take a lot of blame, too, because the offensive line and just his refusal to draft plug-and-play guys in second and third rounds. We don't have to go through his draft history. But my question is for Chewy. That play in the fourth quarter where Keyshawn's off 10 yards and Smith does a little 10 yards and out to the sideline was probably the easiest play. And I was just curious, can you just – and then for us, like, that's a simple play. And then, like, I think you have you said, like, last week how, like, sometimes the formation – needs to be complicated, but once the ball snapped, the actual play is simple. So I was curious, can you just, like, go through the mindset of both, like, the offense of when you see a guy off 10 yards and how just a like, quick bubble screen or slant is effective? Like just what goes into the mind of, like, hey, take advantage of what's given for you?
My guess is if he was off that far, it was probably cover three. So that's what I was talking, like, pre-snap reads, right? You got your ones, your twos, your threes. Pre-snap read will pretty much tell you most times where the ball's going. So I call that a bread and butter play, just a rollover out. And as soon as he saw Keyshawn 10 yards off, which my guess it was cover three, he knew exactly where he's going, and that's like stealing. Now, when it comes to motion, back in my day, you don't motion to motion. You motion to gain an advantage or a read to tell you what the defense is doing. Right. And with your quarterback, half the stuff is pre-snap read. Right. So now if there's motion and he's being followed by a defender, that's pretty much telling you where you're going to go, because plays are designed. OK, let's say you believe they're covering man. 80% of the receivers, if you nail it, are running as if it's man. And there's always one, maybe two guys that are bailouts if it's zone. And that's where you're going with the ball. And I don't know if Love is there yet with his knowledge of the game. I see things where he's not disciplined. Last night, obviously, being pressured 42% of the time, you get happy feet. And you start seeing ghosts. And I think a lot of that is what's happening right now. And there's a lot of people to blame. LaFleur, the offensive line, and Love himself. So my guess is pre-snap read, he's confused. He's not comfortable. And LaFleur has to help him out in that situation. And I don't know how much help he's getting.
800-990-3776. Calls coming in this morning. Everybody frustrated about the Packers losing to the Eagles last night. Back-to-back losses at home, which is, you know, for a team that prides itself on its mystique and its home field advantage, obviously that is currently gone. Caleb and Horicon, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy reacting to the loss.
I mean, what a bummer, guys. I mean, the mystique at Lambeau is just gone. I think that you guys noticed, like, the Packers gave up two field goal opportunities that were within 60 yards. Like, why did they do that? Like, very questionable. I mean, McManus not healthy. I mean, you got Haversick on the roster. I just thought that was weird, and then you let him kick a 65-yarder, which is crazy. But, I mean, this might unravel the season. I mean, LaFleur has no control or no touch, to say. I mean, he's lost his touch.
Caleb, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. I mean, now it's starting to feel like a funeral. Now it's starting to feel like, you know, I liked it better when Joshy was yelling earlier this morning than now when all, like, the truth is sinking in.
And we'll see what happens this week against the Giants, but it gets hard. It gets hard after that. Yeah, this defense has been playing great, but you're going to be going up against a handful of really good defenses coming up here, too. Like, I mean, Baltimore's been playing better. I know that one's later. They have Denver on the road, who possibly has the best defense in the NFL this year. And it's just, yeah, it's depressing knowing you can give up 13 points and that might not be good enough. That's not good enough to win games.
I mean, there's a slim chance they don't make the playoffs. I was just looking at it, unless the wheels completely fall off.
Which, right? I can't rule out, man.
Yeah, which you can't rule out. No, that's fair.
I want to rule it out, but I can't. But yeah. If your wheels are actually falling off, maybe the Black Friday Ewald Automotive Group is the place you need to be heading. It's the biggest event yet. Shop vehicles with up to $10,000 off or 0% financing or zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. It's the biggest savings event of the year. Lowest interest rates, maximum trade values, and huge selection. Black Friday is back, and it's going on right now at every Ewald location. It all starts. They make it easy. EwaldAuto.com.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Once again,
Bob. He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what, you're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A failure on many levels. That's how Ryan from Milwaukee described yesterday's loss 10-7 to the Eagles at Lambeau Field Monday Night Football. So good. Everyone got to watch it. Well, unless you only get your stuff from YouTube, in which case you might not have gotten to watch it, which I would say, lucky you. Let's go out to Rob Domofsky, who's joining us now to tell us what we need to know. Rob, how are you doing today?
All right, Jen, how are you?
You're doing all right. Are you being honest with me? You could tell me if you're not doing all right.
These night games are rough, man. I'm tired.
Yeah, Wildy told
us he went to bed. I didn't get home until 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Wildy said he went to bed at 3:12. I'm guessing yours was somewhere in that ballpark as well.
Yeah, well, probably.
Here's a question for you. Does Matt LaFleur understand his offense right now? Does he have a handle on his offense right now?
Here's the thing, and I think this relates to this, Jen. I don't know if you guys saw the Josh Jacobs quote. He said, we can't just keep saying, all right, we're going to address it. We've got to find actual answers. And he said, I don't know what the answers are. And I'm not sure if the coach does, but he better. Like, that's his job, right? Right? Like, I didn't necessarily understand why he went into this game just hell-bent on running it. And then when it wasn't super effective, like, didn't really adjust or change. I do think they have major problems, concerns, whatever, about the offensive line, about protection. Elton Jenkins, the whole thing moving to center, I don't think was working. And now it's terrible because he broke his ankle or broke his leg. And so I think they've got all kinds of problems. But Jacobs is right. Like, we can't just keep saying, you know, we got to do this or we got to fix it. How do you fix it? Like, let's see what they do.
Rob, you know the leadership on this team, and I've been in situations, you know, the defense is playing at a very high level and the offense isn't. So you'd be fooling yourself not to think that behind closed doors the defense is going. I mean, are you kidding me with the offense? Would you be surprised if this team mails it in?
I'd be surprised if they mail it in right now because it's still only early November. You know, if they lose to the Giants, you know, look out, man, because after that, like, they have the run of, what, three straight division games. I think it's home against Minnesota, at Detroit on Thanksgiving, and then home against Chicago. Like, that's the key stretch right there, Chewy. I mean, you know, if they can't win those, you know, two of those three division games, you know, it could be big trouble. I do think right now, you know, the defensive guys they said all the right things. We're in this together. You know, those guys will come out of it. But I mean, Jordan Love, you know, I'm sure you heard the quote. He said, you know, if I were those defensive guys, I'd say, what are you guys doing? And I think at some point it becomes that. I don't necessarily think it's quite there yet, but that's the danger.
Rob, we've been having a conversation this morning about the rest of the staff on the offensive side with Matt LaFleur. Do they all just kind of fall in line, or is there somebody who actually challenges LaFleur on ideas and they have kind of some productive conversations behind closed doors?
Well, and just to add to that, we were saying, like, you know, for all of the criticism that we would say about Aaron Rodgers, just, you know, run the plays that LaFleur calls, et cetera, he may have been the one guy who could hold his feet to the fire and say, this isn't working and this is why it's not working.
That's a great point. Love said last night that that fourth and one, was that a toss play or whatever that was, a shotgun run where they ended up failing badly and Jones fumbled or Jacobs fumbled. He said that was LaFleur's call, not his. Like, does the quarterback need to be able to, like, you know?
Well, which was shocking because I think most situations, Rob, when you're going no huddle in that point. And Chu, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong here. I just assume the quarterback's calling those plays. So that was, and I'm glad that he answered that, because I was under the assumption, just watching it live, like, why would Love decide to do that? And then he said, nope, that was Matt's call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you, Gabe, and I guess I thought that too. Now maybe with a younger quarterback, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore. But to your point, Jen, about is there anybody to hold him accountable? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, you look at the staff. First of all, when I came out of the Philly playoff game last year, I came out of there going, all right, they're going to change D-line coaches. They're going to change O-line coaches. They changed one of them. You know, I really think that, you know, maybe the problem starts up front, and not necessarily all because of coaching, but certainly coaching and injuries have a lot to do with that. You know, and the other thing too is, you know, everyone wants to maybe bag on Nathaniel Hackett, and he was clearly not a good play caller and not a good head coach. But I wonder if he was a guy who did, who was that guy for LaFleur. They haven't had a whole lot of change on the coaching staff, not a lot of turnover. You know, you want guys to get jobs so that it brings in new ideas. Hackett's the only guy who's left here, and maybe that was a big problem. Maybe he was better than we thought. But even if he wasn't, like, they haven't had a lot of, you know, it's year seven, and they haven't had a lot of new ideas coming into the building. You know, Luke Getsy is back. I'm not sure if he was supposed to be that guy. But, you know, you can't just keep, you know, I say this all the time, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over. And to get new ideas, you need new coaches.
What? You bring up Hackett, and I know he's been doing stuff like as a special assistant or whatever on the defensive side. Is there any chance they could go, hey, come over here, take a look at the offensive side, because we worked together so well when you did that?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, maybe they should, Gabe. It's a really good point. They need something, because what they're doing right now, it's not working. And, you know, go back to the Jacobs thing, they better find some answers.
How rattled is Love?
Well, I would say he looked maybe a little shell-shocked. I don't know if that's the same as rattled, Chewy. Maybe it is. But, yeah, I definitely think he's lost his confidence. You know, this looks like the first half of 2023. You know, they did snap out of it, and obviously Love went on that great run. You know, I also think they really missed Jaden Reed probably. I mean, like, he was sort of the security blanket. And when he went out, obviously, you know, Tucker Kraft became more of that player, and now they don't have him. So it seems like it takes a long time for these guys to find the way to overcome things. I mean, Jaden Reed goes down, and they should have been feeding Tucker Kraft right away, and it took them a few games before they did. Now Kraft's gone. Should they have been feeding Christian Watson or somebody else? But yeah, it's, again, that could go back to the coaching thing.
Well, to that point, like, I mean, Bo Melton plays a crap ton last night. He gets five targets when I feel like everybody's been begging for Matthew Golden to get some of those targets. And when Golden plays, I mean, there's only been two games where he's had five or more targets, and Bo Melton plays once and he's getting five targets.
Yeah, I don't understand the 26 snaps that he played. I think it was more than Malik Heath, and Malik Heath's in the receiver room every day. You know, the drop, the one that hit him in the chest. I mean, you have to make that catch. You know, you had the penalty for not being lined up right, I believe, and like that's just stuff. Look, he's not in the offensive meeting room. He's a cornerback. The odd thing is he hasn't played a single snap at cornerback all year. We spent all this time about his move over there. He's played receiver and special teams. So I didn't understand that choice, Gabe. I really didn't get it.
Rob, we got a lot of folks in the Carbless Talk and Text line and on the YouTube stream who are asking, what is Goody's role in all of this? And let's go specifically to the offensive line. Did Goody err in not going out and getting, I guess, bona fide guys to replace the guys they lost on the offensive line?
Well, they let Josh Myers go because they didn't think he was physical enough, right? And that's going back to the Eagles game. I've said this many times, Jen, that you can screw up in the regular season and it's not as big a deal. You screw up in the playoffs and that's when changes come, which is another reason I thought they were going to change O-line coaches, because they got manhandled in that game. Their response was to let Josh Myers go and bring in Aaron Banks because he's this physical mauler guy, which we have not seen, or I haven't seen it.
I was about to say, those are just rumors at this point, Rob.
Goody's in a weird spot, though, because, you know, he's not LaFleur's boss. This is a case where maybe it would be beneficial that he is. I mean, this is the age-old structure question that we've been talking about since 2018, when Mark Murphy made the change and hired Goody but didn't give him authority over the head coach. You know, did Goody maybe make some mistakes in free agency? Yeah, with Hobbs and Banks. Looks like maybe he has, but he's also – you know, his track record when he has gone into free agency has been pretty good. So I guess, you know, I'm willing to you know, maybe say, okay, just maybe had a bad couple of signings. And with the Matthew Golden point that Gabe makes, you know, maybe this is why he never drafted receivers in the first round, because he didn't think his coaches would, would feed them like you would need to justify taking a receiver that high in the draft. So, it's all part of it, but from Goody's standpoint, he went out and he got Micah Parsons. He did what people wanted with the first round receiver. He doesn't have authority over the coach, so he can't maybe go in there and say you need to do this or you need to play this guy or run this scheme or whatever.
Rob, are they going to roll with Sean Ryan at center, and are they one injury away from disaster?
I'd argue they might be there already, Chewy.
but, all right, sweet.
Now it feels like a funeral.
Yeah, great. Cool.
I mean, they used, I think it was the coach, maybe it was the quarterback, used the word, we malfunctioned. What? that's control alt delete, man. It reminds me of one of those movies, malfunction. I would think Jacob Monk is the only other option. This is a guy they drafted as a center a year and a half ago, and he really hasn't played. So maybe that's the way they go, but they didn't go that way last night. And Sean Ryan's played a lot of snaps for these guys.
So going back to the Goody thing real quick, I think we would all agree that the Matt LaFleur seat is hot. And Goody's seat, if we're being honest, was hot to begin the year because he was in the same boat of, you know, Ed Policy saying, hey, you got 2 years left. I don't like having lame ducks. But I'm not giving you a contract extension. That to me is the definition of a hot seat. Go prove it. Do you think that Goody is on the hot seat, and how this team finishes is also going to kind of reflect back on him? Or do you think because of the Micah Parsons moves and some of the other things that he's done, that he finds himself in a safer spot than LaFleur?
I mean, if you were to ask me who's in a safer spot of the two, I would think it would be Goody. Here's the thing, like, Gabe, we don't know Ed Policy in terms of what his decision-making is. I mean, we know what we've known him as the second man, the right-hand man for the last 12 or 13 years since he's been here and has been promoted up the ladder. But, you know, we don't know if he even agreed with Mark Murphy's decision to structure it the way he did. We don't know exactly if he would have hired Matt LaFleur if he was making the decision, or Goody or whatever. Like, there's so many unknowns. We don't even know if he's a guy who would shake it up, you know, this early. And by this early, I mean in his tenure, not in, you know, LaFleur and Goody have been around for quite a while. Like, is that something that Ed would do? I don't think he necessarily meant to do this, but by saying what he said and what you recounted him saying about the hot seat and the lame duck thing, I don't think he did those guys any favors. And again, I don't think he meant it like they better win or else. Like, that's that's the edict. But that's what he said, basically. You know, I mean, with 2 years left in your contract and you don't believe in lame duck coaches or would rather not have lamed up coaches, you know, then what else are we to say? But this season is the season that he's judging them on, which, you know, obviously is, because it's his first time in the job. But, you know, maybe by unintended consequences, he didn't necessarily do those guys any favors.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Get some sleep today if you can, man, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, no access today, so I guess we won't hear any more excuses or find any more solutions. So I guess we have to wait till tomorrow. But I appreciate you guys, and we'll be seeing you next week.
He's Rob Domofsky. You can, of course, follow him on social and read his stuff on ESPN.com. We'll take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap up the show right after this.
Hey, ESPN Milwaukee listeners, Josh Maggio here for my friends at Wanna Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. I'm looking ahead to the weekend already. I'm going to place Drake May to score an anytime touchdown, Chris Rodriguez to score an anytime touchdown as well, the Buccaneers to cover 5.5, and the New York Giants against the Green Bay Packers to cover the 7.5. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. You put in 20 bucks, they will give you 20 more. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years old or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. You put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This November, BetterHelp is encouraging everyone to reach out, check on your friends, reconnect with loved ones, and remind the people in your life that you are there. And you know what? They'll probably remind you that they are there as well. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the United States. If you are in a situation where you are feeling like you're stuck or you're struggling or life's challenges have just felt overwhelming lately, BetterHelp can help. 30,000 therapists, they're one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served more than 5 million people globally, and their rating on the App Store is a 4.9 out of 5 for a live session. Don't wait to reach out. If you're struggling, this can help. BetterHelp says you should just call them at #250. That's #250. Say the keyword time out and you'll get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. I'm sure it will be a very uplifting and rewarding and celebratory. Just kidding. Listen.